This is Dr. Jonathan Shaw. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crown Ministries Podcast today. We hope that this message transforms you and encourages you to pursue God's presence in a greater way. Enjoy the message.
The Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 2. We'll begin our lesson at verse number 5. Would you stand to reverence the reading of God's holy word? Even those of you online, let's reverence the reading of God's holy word. And it begins on this wise. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? There's Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, in Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya and Cyrene, even strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Somebody say new wine. Verse number 5 is our text of emphasis. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Out of every nation under heaven. Out of every nation under heaven. There was people all around from every nation under heaven. I want to talk to you this morning from the subject simply entitled, The Pandemic of Pentecost. The pandemic of Pentecost. Look at your neighbor and say, "There's another pandemic going on." Tell them there's a pandemic called Pentecost. The pandemic of Pentecost. Father, bless this witness now. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus we pray now that you would move by your spirit. Preach me crazy. Speak to your people clearly and get the glory out of everything that's said and done. We promise to worship you in spirit and in truth. Move now, O God, have your way. Deliver, heal, save, set free. Let somebody declare your will and your way today as they give their life unto you. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. We offer to you ourselves. Have your way now. In Jesus' name we pray. Every heart say amen. Amen. Have your seats. When you go down, say the pandemic of Pentecost. The pandemic of Pentecost. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we're presently sitting here 1 year out from a tragic, traumatic warfare. We're not even completely out of it or over it. It's still lingering. It's still around. People are still getting infected, and people are still dying. I was watching the news this week on CNN, Pastor Moore, and CNN had reported that only 59 people had died that day. And while I was looking, there was a part of me that was praising and thanking God, because I remember a year ago this time that people were dying in the thousands per day. But I looked at that number and I was somewhat grieved, because though the number is small, one of those 59 is somebody's everything. It's not it's celebratory not to lose 3,000 people, but to lose one person, it feels like 5,000 have died. And so though the numbers are decreasing and the numbers are small and the states and governments and local officials are lifting certain mandates, people are still being infected. People are still dying. We're still on the latter end of a pandemic. The pandemic that we have just exited out of is called the novel virus corona. Coronavirus number 19, whereby which individuals from the year 2019 began the flow of this infectious disease, and it went into the bodies of one and caused it to literally spread throughout the world. I want you to know certain language is important in this hour. There's a difference between a pandemic and an epidemic. A pandemic and an epidemic are not the same thing. An epidemic is a time where diseases or infections flow throughout individuals, but it stays locally. Sometimes it goes up as far as nationally into the whole country, but an epidemic really is contained in one region or one area. It's an epidemic. Everybody say epidemic. An epidemic is when it's contained, it's localized. It's just either this region or that region, or even one country can have an epidemic. But a pandemic is different. A pandemic is a global epidemic. A pandemic is when that infection or that disease doesn't contain to just one region, locale, or even one country. It literally goes to other countries. It literally touches other nations. Somebody say pandemic. It's taken from the Greek word pan, which means a crowd locally, but it also speaks to all. And that infectious disease spreads across large regions, across multiple continents, or even worldwide. The pandemic that we're in now, called coronavirus, was not an epidemic. It was not just China. It was not just Europe. It was not just America. It literally touched every country in the world. Every country in the world was affected by this pandemic, a widespread disease with a stable number of infected people, such as reoccurring for the season like the flu, but yet it doesn't stop until there is a general population that becomes immune to it. And the only way that the scientists have found to stop a pandemic is to start with vaccinations. Vaccinations is one of the ways to stop a pandemic, but that's with modern science. Y'all still with me? I ain't gonna be too much longer. Modern science, they give a vaccination, and they asked me, they said, Bishop, are you gonna get the vaccination? I told them, stay out of my business. How about that? Glory to God. You just make sure you get your shot. But I told them, I already been vaccinated. Hallelujah. When I was saved over, come on here, hallelujah, 35 years ago, I got my vaccination. Now, I know y'all talking about the shot and the needle by Moderna and Pfizer and that Johnson. I don't know if you took Johnson Johnson, but you don't understand. Whatever one you got, you know, glory to God, that's your vaccination. Praise the Lord. And so they discovered that the only way to stop or become immune to the pandemic and to the disease is you've got to be vaccinated. But that's modern science. Earlier science didn't have vaccinations. They literally had to have people become immune to it. It was called crowd immunity, where literally we just had to get around each other and just catch it until we built up immunity within our own bodies, until people just stopped dying from it. Oh, God, aren't you glad for the progression of modern science and modern medicine? I know y'all want to curse the doctor, but you better thank God for these doctors. I said, you better thank God for these doctors. God sent these doctors, because some of your healing comes when you come to the altar and pray, and others of you get healed when you go to the doctor. There's the word of the Lord coming to somebody right now. Go to the doctor. They don't want to hear me preach, but I'm going to keep on preaching. This is not the first pandemic that this world has experienced. While we are shocked and we are appalled and we are surprised at the things that have occurred now, this is not new to God. God doesn't get shocked. God doesn't get amazed. God is used to stuff like this. Somebody shout, it's not new to God. But in 430 BC, there was a pandemic called the Plague of Athens. During the Polynesian War, typhoid fever killed a quarter of the Athenian troops and a quarter of the entire population. It lasted from 430 BC to 426 BC. For 4 years, they were in the middle of a pandemic. In 165 AD, there was another pandemic called the Antone Plague, where it was possibly measles or smallpox that brought the whole entire Italian peninsula to their knees, because their soldiers returning from the war were literally infected with measles or smallpox. It killed a quarter of those infected, or up to 5 million people in total. And that plague, or that pandemic, literally lasted from 165 to 180 AD. 15 years. Then there was, after that, the plague of Justinian. Lasted from 541 to 750 AD. The first recorded outbreak of the bubonic plague started in Egypt. It reached Constantinople the following spring, killing, according to the Byzantine Chronicle, 10,000 people a day. 10,000 people a day died in the heights. Perhaps 40% of the inhabitant of the world was affected by the bubonic plague. The plague went to eliminate a quarter and a half of the human population of the known world. It caused Europe's population to drop by 50% from 550 AD to 700 AD. Somebody shout, this wasn't the first time. Then there was another pandemic in 1331 called Black Death. I don't know if y'all ever heard of it. 1331 to 1353, there was a pandemic called Black Death. The total number of deaths worldwide is estimated to 75 to 200 million people. 800 years after the last outbreak, this plague returned to Europe, starting in Asia. The disease reached the Mediterranean and Western Europe in 1348 and killed an estimated 20 to 30 million Europeans in 6 years. A third of the total population and up to half in the world's affected urban areas. It was the first of the cycle of the European plagues and epidemics that continued until the 18th century. There were more than 100 people, rather 100 plagues in the pandemic at one time. Disease returned to England every 2 to 5 years, and it lasted until 1370. England's population decreased by 50% because people were dying one after another. The next plague, the next pandemic happened in 1855. I'm almost through, y'all. The third pandemic was called the Third Plague. It started in China. It spread to India, where 10 million people died. During this pandemic, the United States saw its first outbreak. And in San Francisco, the plague hit about 1900 to 1904. Actually, today, sporadic cases of this plague still occurs in the United States. This is the one that everyone remembers, the Spanish flu. In 1918, it lasted for 2 years till 1920. The Spanish flu infected 500 million people around the world, including a remote Pacific island and the Arctic, killing 20 to 100 million people. Most influenza outbreaks disproportionately killed the very young and the very old, but the 1918 pandemic had an unusually high mortality rate for young adults. It killed, watch this, the Spanish flu killed more people in 25 weeks than AIDS did in the first 25 years. A 500 million people around the world died from the Spanish flu. Somebody say a pandemic. Then we have in 2020, coronavirus. there was, by report, 166 plus million people infected with the virus. To be factual, 166,554,767 and counting people were infected with coronavirus. That is 2% of the world's population. 3,459,730 people died from coronavirus in the last year. 3.4 million people died, y'all. That's 2% of the cases of people that were affected died from it. I need you to help me with this math. 2% of the world's population was infected, and 2% of those that were affected died from it. Somebody say 2%. 2% of the world's population got infected, but 2% of those who were infected died from it. 2%. 2%. Somebody say pandemic. 147 million people actually recovered from the virus. They caught it, but they're still here. They're still alive. They're still with us. 145. Isn't it just like the enemy to make you fear something that only affected 2%? Again, 2% is a lot to somebody. But when you look at a world's number of population, 2% is not a whole lot. But we sometimes operate in a fear, not because of, watch this, the number of 2%, but the way that the 2% died. And what the pandemic has done, it has released the spirit of terrorism. And some of you have been traumatized and terrorized by the pandemic because of the way people were dying, because we were fighting and still are fighting an invisible enemy. How can you defeat an invisible enemy? Look at your neighbor, shake them real good if they sleep and tell them, hey, neighbor, it's a pandemic going on. It's a pandemic going on. It's a pandemic. It's a pandemic going on. And maybe, thank God you wasn't a part of the 2%, but can I praise God for the 98% that lived, for the 98% that's still here? I need somebody who caught the virus that's still here to be clapping like you. I said, I need somebody to praise her for a negative report like you had it, but you... Look at your neighbor and said, I had it, but I'm still here. Glory to God. Now, I got to go, but that's a praise moment right there, because some of the stuff that had you, but you still made it. Some of the stuff that was designed to kill you, come on here, but you're still here. Can I preach to somebody? Millions didn't make it, but I'm one of the ones who did. I'm not celebrating nobody's demise. I'm just celebrating my survival. Is there anybody in the room that's glad that you're just still here? Still here by the grace of God. Still here in the pandemic. I was infected by it, but I'm still here because the Lord, oh God, kept me here. I don't know why I'm here. Don't know why I survived it. Don't know why I come on here, what the future holds, but I know this. I'm still here by the grace of God. How does one die but one somebody else live? I survive what kills somebody else. Brothers and sisters, a pandemic is a widespread disease that goes throughout the whole world. Here's the concept that will make something a pandemic. It always hits a strong metropolis. It hits a big city where people of the world visit. I'm going somewhere. A pandemic doesn't start at a place where lots of folks don't go. A pandemic starts where the world goes to visit. Where the world shows up on stage and the world comes to say hello. Isn't it something that during the coronavirus pandemic that New York became the hot spot? New York was the epicenter, what they called it, of the virus, because New York has the world stage. Everybody comes to New York. The city's so nice, they named it twice. New York, New York. Everybody visits New York. New York is the Mecca for the world. And what most people don't realize is that the world is following the pattern of New York City. Oh God, the city that never sleeps, the Big Apple. And we have approximately, Deacon Rory, we have approximately 3 million guests and visitors every weekend. 3 million people visit New York every weekend from around the world. Oh God, in most rural places and forests and places where it look like ain't no television around, everybody talks about America. And if you talk about America, you talk about New York. Am I talking right, Riff? If you talk about America, you're talking about New York. We're all trying to follow New York. We're trying to dress like New York. We're trying to talk like New York. We're trying to look like New Yorkers, and New Yorkers are trying to get up out of New York. New Yorkers trying to find somewhere else to live. Glory to Jesus. I'm gonna pray for some of y'all. If a pandemic hits, I'm almost through, Sister Isha, it has to find a location where the world goes to visit. Because the spread of it is based upon world touch. The spread of it is based upon those who didn't have it when you got here, but you catch it when you get here and you take it back home with you. And now your home got it. And now that home has it. And it spreads from the epicenter. New York was the epicenter of the virus. Even though it didn't start here, it was spread to the world from here, because the world visits New York. I discovered something. I'm almost through. That when God gets ready to do something, he always finds an epicenter. He always finds a place where the world goes to visit. And he says, I want to do something with that region. Because if I affect that region, I've affected the whole world. If that region gets it and gets infected, it's almost a guarantee that everybody around the world would catch it. And the enemy always copies God's pattern. He always, come on here, copies God's system. And because God has a system in place to infect the entire world, then the enemy wants to infect the entire world with disease. And I want to ask y'all a question this morning. Are you affected or are you infected? I want to ask you, are you effective or are you infected? Turn to your neighbor behind your mask and say, hey neighbor, I wonder, are you infected or are you affected? Have you been affected by what God is doing, or have you been infected by what the devil is planning? I look through the scripture. I'm almost full. Come on, Shaw. Oh, God. God always had a global mission in mind. We do not serve a local God. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to bust your bubble, but we do not serve a Brooklyn God. We do not serve a New York God. Online, help me. We do not serve an American God. But God is the God of the universe. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwells therein. The heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. And everything that God is doing, he always has a global mission in mind. Somebody shout global. Sometimes we confuse God to assume and believe that he's on our level. We sometimes think that God is on my level. Now watch this. He can be your friend, but he's not on your level. Somebody missed the praise moment right there. I said he's your friend, but he's not on your left. Don't get it twisted now, because some of y'all think that God is your boy. Some of y'all think that God is your ace boom coon. No, he is your friend, but he is not on your level. That's why I'm living when folks say you can just talk to God any old kind of way. No, you cannot, because he is your friend, but he is not on your level. You gotta talk to God like he's not on your level. Come here, the prophet. He says your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Holler at your neighbor behind your mask and say, act like God is not on your level. You're not on God's level. You're not divine. You're not a deity. Come on here. You're not a God. You're not on God's level. He came to your level to be your friend and to save you, but you must come up to his level. So when we pray to God, we often, Brother Ref, we pray to God with a local mind instead of a global mind. We pray regionally and we do not pray universally. We pray for where we are instead of praying for where we're going. Everything that God does, he does with a global mission in mind. When he called Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He didn't just tell him, I'm going to give you a family. He said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. The problem with some of us, the reason why we're not getting answers to prayer, because we pray too small. And your prayers are too local. I can't get no church in here. Let me preach to some of those online. The reason why some of our prayers haven't been answered is because God said you ain't praying big enough. You're praying local and I'm trying to give you something global. You're praying for something small. I'm trying to give you something big. You think that your faith, come on here, is just here to cause a bill to be paid from one month to another? God says I'm more than a bill paying machine. I'm more than an ATM. I'm more, come on here. I'm more than a money market account. He says I'm God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Somebody holler at your neighbor and say, go global. We got a local prayer when we should have a global prayer. My God, how selfish is it that you think that God just gonna bless you and only your family and only your location and only your block and only your neighborhood and only your road and boulevard and drive and avenue? How selfish is it to not know that God's gonna bless your neighbor, but not just your neighbor? He gonna bless your city, but not just your city. He gonna bless your state, but not just your state, but your country. And not just your country, he gonna bless the world. Have you ever been in prayer and felt like praying for somebody in Africa you didn't know? Have you ever been in prayer and ever prayed for people in India and people in Russia and people in China? Is your prayers local or global? Because you pray the way you perceive God. And if you think he's the up the block God, then you pray like the up the block believer. But somebody holler one more time and say, go global. Business owners, why sell to just the people that look like you? I ain't got much time, but I got to get up out of here. Why? Now to get every entrepreneur in this church, I charge you, those of you that's online, the next time you sell another product, put a euro on it. Put a price for the euro. And then find out how much it costs to sell it in Canada. And find out how much it costs to sell it in other countries. Stop putting just US dollars on your products. Take that joker global. Take that product global. And the reason why you've exhausted with consumers and you're exhausted with contracts, because you're only looking up the block when God got your divine connection in another country. Why haven't you used the World Wide Web? Why haven't you used the internet? Why are you staying local when he's giving you global access? You're mad because Americans won't support you when God said, I got some Europeans that will. You're mad because your friends won't come to your grand opening and your party when God says, I got some Orientals, some Pacific Islanders that is looking exactly for what you got for. Your mind is too small. You're too local for a global God to touch you. Some of you, God said, I'm not even coming because you ain't global enough. I'm sending angels. Angels are assigned to locations and small local places and small real. He says, when you start praying bigger, you'll get me to show up. Till then, take this angel. People who have a global mandate, watch this, I gotta go, suffer global attacks. When you have a global mandate and a global mantle, you have a global attack on your life. I don't want to get too spooky and I don't want to really freak you out, but the truth of the matter is some of y'all are not fighting American demons. You're fighting demons from other continents and you don't even realize it. Come on here. You're fighting devils that don't even live in this country. They didn't even originate in this country. They didn't even originate in this continent. Sometimes your warfare is even in other realms, in other regions, and even in other continents, because your mandate is global, but you think too small. You think you're on Glenwood Road and God said, I got you on the world's platform. I got you on the world stage. And all you think is you going to a storefront church in Brooklyn. You don't see the global mandate. God, I wish I could talk to some people behind a mask. God always has something global in mind. Touch your neighbor and say, he has something global in mind. He has something global in mind. He has something global in mind. He says, I want to do something big. I want to do something magnificent. But I need some people with a global mindset. I need some people who are ready to go global and not stay stuck local. And the Bible tells us that every time God was ready to shift them to global, he would see how stuck they were in local. Even when Jesus came, the Bible says that Jesus was giving them mysteries. And they was looking at Jesus like, what are you talking about? They asked him, what world are you from? Who sent you? Because he was talking global, but they were still living local. He had to speak in parables so that they could understand them, because their minds had not shifted to a global place. He said, how long am I going to be with you? How long will I suffer you? How long will I'm going to be here with you? You got to understand, I'm trying to take you higher. I got a word and I got to get out of here. For everybody that would receive it, God says today, I'm trying to take you higher. Can you do me a favor and just receive this prophetic declaration? God says, my attempt, my plans for you is higher. Higher than where you've ever been. Higher than anybody in your family has ever gone. He says, I had you in mind. Watch this. For the global mission that I've always thought about, I had you in mind. So I didn't care whether your mom and daddy was married. I didn't care whether they even liked each other. I didn't care whether you had a silver spoon in your mouth. You didn't have to be born in a mansion. You didn't have to have a whole lot of money. But because of the global mandate that was on your birth, on your conception, the Lord said, I needed you here for such a time as this, but I need you to come higher. I need you to see yourself the way I see you. I need you to stop looking at yourself as ghetto fabulous and ratchet and neighborhood and local. Somebody holler, I'm global. I'm
global. I'm global. I'm global. I'm global. I'm global. And so, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, God had to find somewhere in the world where everyone in the world would meet. He had to find somewhere in the world where everybody in the world would join together. And that place happened to be Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place where many nations came to gather, particularly to worship, particularly over the Passover. They came to worship. They came to offer sacrifices and to give offering. The world is meeting. Somebody shout, the world is meeting. That's what's going on online. That's why churches are on YouTube and on Facebook Live, because the world is meeting. That's why we got cameras and lights. That's why we got to connect to the World Wide Web. Because the world is meeting, and some of you gonna miss it because you think that this is the devil. But God says, I'm trying to do something new, and I want the world to meet, and I want the world to get the news and to catch the memo that God is doing something new. If you can, touch your neighbor and say, God is doing something new. He's doing something new. But he's got to go to where the world is meeting. And the Bible says that he waited until the feast called Pentecost. The feast called Pentecost was the feast by which they would gather together. And 49 days after the resurrection of Jesus, oh God, that's what we call it now. But that back then, it was 49 days after another harvest and feast that they would celebrate another harvest called Pentecost. They would wait 7 weeks, and on the 49th day, they would prepare the harvest. They would prepare all the wheat, and they would literally throw it up in the air. And everything that the air would catch, my God, they received it as an offering unto the Lord. So the wind would literally blow the wheat. It would blow the harvest and blow the sacrifice. And you would literally walk around the city, and you would see all this stuff flying around all over the place. You would see all this wheat flashing in the wind. My God, y'all gonna get it in a while. All of this stuff was in the atmosphere. All this wind, the wind was taking all this stuff all over the place. It was on people's clothes. It was sitting on their shoulders. It was in their hair. It would get caught on them, and they were stepping in it and walking in, because the wind was blowing the stuff all over the place at the Pentecost feast. And the Bible says that at Jerusalem, God waited at this very hour. He says, I want to affect the world. And when the world comes together to throw something in the wind, I'm going to use the wind to execute my global mandate and mission. I'm going to use the wind. And I got a word for 35 folks that will catch it. God said, I'm about to use the wind again. I'm about to use the wind, and I'm about to send something in the atmosphere. I'm about to put something in the air that's going to shift the whole purpose of your existence. Ladies and gentlemen, and the Bible says that there at the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, people were outside throwing the wheat up in the air, throwing their offerings unto God. The wind was taking it and throwing it all over the place. But behind the wind, the natural wind, the common wind, Sister Isha, there was another wind. And the Bible says that while 120 people were in the upper room, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Oh, I got a word for somebody who would catch it. There's another wind that's coming. Look at your neighbor and say, hey neighbor, we know about the old wind, but there's another wind that's coming. There's another wind that's on its way. You got the wrong neighbor. Find somebody and act like y'all got the Holy Ghost and say, neighbor, there is another wind that's about to hit my life, and it's blowing this way. I got a word for somebody. There is a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving this old way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. Fall on somebody and tell them there's another wind coming. I can see it. I can sense it, that there's another atmosphere shifting in this place. There's another atmosphere. It's not a common wind. It's not a natural wind, but it's a rushing, mighty wind. Lean on somebody and say, neighbor, I feel something rushing. I gotta prophesy for 17 praises. God said the next blessing that's coming in your life, it's gonna rush you. It's gonna rush you. It's rushing your way, which means your miracle is running in a hurry to come and find you. It's looking for you. So it's rushing to your address. It's rushing to your city. It's rushing to your house. Somebody touch a neighbor and say, neighbor, it's rushing. It's on its way, but it's coming quick, fast, and in a hurry. Who am I preaching to? Bible says that the nations came together. They throwing stuff in the wind. But here comes a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Which means, Pastor Sabrina, that there was one wind on the outside, but a rushing wind on the inside. Because the wind only filled the house where they were sitting. But it wasn't a wind, y'all, that just blew them around. It was the sound of it, like a rushing mighty wind, which means you gotta be around it in order to hear it. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, in this new season, you got to be around it in order to hear it. You gonna miss it if you're not around it. Some of y'all on the outside, you're gonna miss the sound if you don't get inside. And the Bible says that the sound of the wind filled the house where they were sitting, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Cloven tongues like a fire sat upon them, on their heads, on their shoulders, a divided tongue, and they started speaking, they started talking, they started opening their mouth, and they started sounding global. They started sounding global. They started sounding global. God changed their language from local to global. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, God is changing your language from local to global. You speak local, you think local, but get ready. There's a global assignment on your gift. There's a global anointing on your life. Lift your hands up and say, God, give me global fire. God, give me a global anointing. God, give me a global mantle, a global mandate. Go from local to global. Their tongues change, their language change. Can I prophesy to y'all? Get ready, because God is about to give you the language to where you're going. Get ready. You're about to talk like where you're going. You ain't gonna talk like you're broke. You're gonna talk like you're wealthy. You ain't gonna talk like a renter. You're gonna talk like a homeowner. You ain't gonna talk like a worker. You're gonna talk like a boss. You ain't gonna talk like you're broken. You're gonna talk like you're healed. Who am I preaching to? God says, I'm about to shift your language to global. Lift your hands up and say, Lord, give me the language of my next level. Who am I talking to? Online, lift your hands and say, Lord, Give me the language of my next level. Give me the language of where I'm going. You talk like a doctor. You talk like a lawyer. You talk like you just got blessed. You talk like the Lord just touched you. If you want to live it, if you want to receive it, change your language from local to global. If you got it, shout yes, and the Bible says, oh, they started talking with a global language. They started talking with a global tone. When they spoke a global language, the Bible says, all of a sudden, what was happening on the inside spilled out to the outside. And everybody looked at them and saw all of the wheat in the air. But when the door to the upper room opened up, another wind came out in the air. They say they must be drunk. They must be intoxicated. It looks like new wine. Yeah. They act like they got new wine. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the next time your family looks at you, you gonna look new. The next time your hater see you, you're gonna be new. Somebody shout, this is my new season. This is my new day. This is a fresh anointing coming my way. You talked about me in the last season, but there's a new season with my name on it. There's new power with my name on it. There's new glory with my name on it. Somebody, anybody, say new. New. I got a new walk. I got a new talk. I got a new dance. I got a new praise. Because there's a global mandate on my life. They looked at him. Said it must be drunk. But they said, we're not drunk. But this is that the prophet spoke about. And the Bible says 3,000 souls got affected. That day, 120 people caught it. But God says, I'm not satisfied with 120. I'm not satisfied that Crown Ministries is the only one that got it. I want to affect, not infect. I want to affect more people. So it spilled out to the outside. And that day, 3,000 souls was affected. And all of a sudden, it started a pandemic of the Pentecost. A pandemic of the Holy Ghost. A pandemic started spreading like fire. Do me a favor. Get out of your seat and say, neighbor, excuse me, I just got affected. Excuse me. Watch out. I just got my results back from God. And the result says, you've been affected. Yes. Yes. Y'all ain't doing it. I know you got your mask. I know you got your sanitizer. But go find somebody. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I have been affected. You are now affected. Because one can chase 1,000. Two can chase 10,000. You just got affected. If we pray together, the Lord will answer us. Y'all help me online, in the room. Go touch 3 people and tell them, you've just been affected. I said go tell three people. You've just been affected. It's a Pentecost, a pandemic. It's a pandemic, a Pentecost, a pandemic, a power, a pandemic of new anointing, a pandemic of glory. Well, what you got? I ain't got the Spanish flu. I ain't got Black Death. I ain't got coronavirus. But what I have, give I thee. Take up your bed and walk. If you're not scared, grab somebody by the hand and say, neighbor. I said, say, neighbor. I got affected. Say, what you got? Tell them, I got the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I got the Holy Ghost. Y'all ain't got them, but you ain't crazy enough for me. Find somebody. Act like they got them. And say, neighbor, I just got my results. The result says you're affected. Say, neighbor, what you got? Tell them, I got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Paracletus. I got the third person of the Godhead. What you got? I got the Comforter. I got the Keeper. I got the Guide. I got the Teacher. I got the Advisor. I got Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I don't know what you got, but I'm glad I got it. When did you get it? Late one Friday night. My heart wasn't right, but I gave it to Jesus, and he made everything all right. I can't explain it, but I got it. I can't articulate it, but I got it. Something got a hold of me. Throw your hands up and shout, I got it, I got it. I got it, I got it. I got it. It's a pandemic, y'all. It's a pandemic. It's a pandemic. It's spreading like fire. If you got it, say yeah. If you got it, shout yeah. If you want it, shout yeah. Now praise them like you've been affected. You ain't got it till you show some sign. You ain't got it till you raise your hands. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. I said, say, neighbor. I looked at my hands. My hands looked me. I looked at my feet, and they did too. I got the Holy Ghost. He's on my right. He's on my left. He's under me. He's over me, and he's living down inside. Throw your hands up and shout, I got it. I gotta close. I'm over my time. But somebody holler, I got it. And I'm glad I got it. I said, I got it. And I'm glad I got it. And you know what I found out? That the Holy Ghost don't just make you speak in tongues. The Holy Ghost don't just make you dance and shout. But the Holy Ghost make you forgive. He make you repent. He make you shut your mouth. The Holy Ghost will check you, chastise you, and correct you. Somebody say, yeah, I got it. And not only am I glad that I got it, but some of my enemies better be glad that I got it. Because the Holy Ghost, he said, hold to peace. Let me fight on your behalf. I'm trying to quit. I'm trying to stop. I got to teach my class. But something got a hold of me. I've been affected and I can't help myself. When you've been affected, you've got the case of the can't help it. You drive your car and you feel the Holy Ghost. You're doing laundry, you feel the Holy Ghost. You wash the dishes and you feel the Holy Ghost. How many of you ever been interrupted by the Holy Ghost? I've been affected. I fell in love with Jesus and I found out he's all right. Can't get no help up in here. Look at your neighbor and said, I tried Jesus for myself and I found out that he's all right. Y'all ain't Baptist. I wish I could get some help up in here. Lean on your neighbor one more time and say, I tried him for myself. And I know he's all right. Come on, clap your hands in the air. I said, clap your hands in here. Get out your seat. Find somebody that look real excited and say, neighbor, I know he's all right. Y'all got the wrong person. They ain't got no fire. They didn't get excited yet. You got permission. Get out your row. Find somebody else in another row. Look at them face to face. Behind the mask. If they don't want you to touch them, point your finger at them. And say, neighbor, oh neighbor, I know he's all right. Do you have them? Do you have them? I said, do you have them? Have you got religion? Have you got Jesus down on the inside? Have you got the Hiko the Mahosha? Have you got the Mahoshiana Mahaya? Have you got the real Holy Ghost? Have you got the real Holy Ghost? That quickening fire, that Holy Ghost fire, that purifying fire, the refiner's fire. If you got it, say it. I've been affected. How you know you've been affected? Mary Brooks, you know I know the things I used to do, I don't do no more. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. The friends I used to hang with, I don't hang with no more. I got him. I got him. You ain't got him. Because when you come to church, you don't need no praise team. You don't need no cheerleader. You don't need a body to pump you. You already got a praise. Because when you got him, you'll bless the Lord at all times. Wave your hands and say, I got him. I said, tell him, I got him. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. It's a pandemic. Of Pentecost, but you cannot keep it to yourself. You You gotta spread it to somebody else. Don't hold it. Don't hoard it. But share it. Spread love.
It's the Brooklyn way.
Let me shift it. Spread the Holy Ghost. It's the global way. Spread the Holy Ghost. It's the global way. It's the God way.
Today, if you're not saved, I want you to give your heart to Jesus. I want you to confess him as Lord and Savior. If that's you and you want to be saved, I want you to raise your right hand all over this building right now. I want to be saved. If you're online and you want to be saved, I simply want you to put up the raising hand emojis. If you can't find that, just say, I want to be saved. Type that in the comments right now. If you want to be saved and you're sitting in this building, raise your right hand right now. I want to give my life to Jesus once and for all. I want to be saved. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's you, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Change me. Save me. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that he was raised from the dead. I now know I don't belong to myself. I belong to you. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Come on, clap your hands and thank God for somebody who said that for the first time and meant it. They're now saved. It's just confessing and believing. That's all it takes. Is confessing and believing. If you just did that today for the first time and you meant it, I want you to text the word saved, S-A-V-E-D. They're putting it in the comments for you. Text that to the number 40691. Text the word saved to 40691. We want to keep in contact with you. We want you to journey with us through this walk of salvation. You don't have to do it by yourself. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Tell them you're not alone. You're not alone. Glory to God.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, I would love for you to do two things. One, subscribe to our show so you can receive notification of our most recent messages. Also, if this message has impacted you, you can click the link in the description and you can give now. We'll connect with you next time on Crown Ministries Podcast.